Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello and welcome in Thursday edition of the program. Glad to be back with you today after an off day yesterday, but we return with plenty to talk about as we get close to heading into the weekend. We are moving through the week and there is lots going on, and most of it has to do with things from a recruiting perspective, because obviously earlier this week, as of midnight a few days ago, IU, the staff and coaches across the country could contact young players, 2023 prospects, and a number of interest has went out from IU to players, some scholarship offers as well. And it just adds to all the off-season chatter, because recruiting right now for all programs at all levels is the name of the game. And interesting to see things take hold again, some normalcy in the recruiting process. And, of course, the other big thing we can't forget about coming up early next week, not this weekend. I know a lot of people think Providence plays Saturday in a state baseball championship game. That is not the case. They play Monday night at Victory Field in downtown Indianapolis against Eastside. So we've got Providence coming up in a state championship here just days away. Can the Pioneers be the latest and the next program, the next team here from our immediate area to bring a state championship back to Southern Indiana? So that's going to be fun to talk about as we close the week out. Of course, the Big X will be in Indianapolis for live coverage of the Providence game against Eastside. Our pregame on Monday night will begin at 7:30. The first pitch in that contest is slated for 8 p.m. The 1A game is scheduled to begin before the Providence game. So if that thing is tight or extra innings or slows down, you could maybe see a little later start than 8 o'clock. But normally at the state finals, things are on time and things are very orderly. So we're expecting a 7:30 pregame and an 8 o'clock first pitch on Monday from Indianapolis. And again, Providence, their baseball team, what a run they have been on this season. And can they finish it off? One more game against an Eastside team from Northern Indiana, really from the, I guess you'd say, the Fort Wayne area, the metropolitan area. And we'll have more on that game coming up today and throughout the week. Let's take a look at the show lineup for today, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one coming up here in just a few moments. We'll have our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Again, recruiting is heavy right now, and just trying to track what this Indiana staff has done the last couple days as far as reaching out to players. There have been a number of scholarship offers go out to players, but one big one stands out to me, not only because I've had a chance to see this young man and talk about this young man a lot here recently, but also because he's close. He's in the nearby area, Caleb Glenn over at Mayo High School in Louisville, officially a couple days ago with a scholarship offer from Indiana. He added a number of other offers in that first day that the coaches could make contact with 2023 prospects. So we'll talk about that in our headlines. Lots of other recruiting notes coming up in our headlines today as well. And also an update on what's the team up to. That's kind of a common question you get right now. How are the workouts going? What are they doing? What type of programs are they in? What type of weight stuff are they doing? Well, we really don't know. It's not like IU publishes a schedule or sends out all the particulars, but we did get a little video from IU men's basketball on social media yesterday that shows them doing some off-season work, and we'll talk about that coming up here in our headline segment as well. Later in the program, on Thursdays, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall is always with me. With Alex, we'll talk IU recruiting. Alex has been all over covering some of the latest developments with recruiting. He's interviewing some parents and coaches of players that have been on the IU campus recently. Today, he's going to fill us in on all that coming up here in segment number two. And we'll talk a little bit about the schedule and also the Big Ten Conference for next season as well when Alex is with us in segment two today. And then later in the show, Scott Hutchins, the head coach of Providence Baseball, he joins us as we'll talk about the Pioneers' big win over the weekend at the semi-state. What a game it was. A just blowout win over a good university team, a hot-hitting university team. Providence with Ray Reisinger on the mound and great hitting themselves had no problems getting past that team and on to a state championship game. We'll talk about what the week has been like as well. Obviously, school is out. Baseball, the sole focus for Coach Hutchins and his Pioneers as they get ready for this big game coming up Monday night against Eastside. So we'll talk about that. We'll ask him for what he's learned about Eastside, his opponent coming up in the 2A title matchup. So that and more coming up later in the show today with Coach Hutchins of Providence Baseball in segment number three. That's the show lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Check out their dinner package deals that are being offered. You can dine in, take them to go, and curbside service is still available as well at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. I want to start our Zaxby's headlines for this Thursday, June 17th, with recruiting items. And again, this time of year, recruiting is going to dominate what we talk about when it comes to IU basketball especially. But Tuesday was a busy day for class of 2023 players that are going to be juniors when the high school basketball season begins next winter. And we've had so many names that have popped up on the radar over the spring. Now that travel basketball is back in full swing, a lot of names rising to the top in 2022 and 2023 in those classes that have had great off seasons so far, you could say. One of the players locally, and with Summer League basketball going on the last, 3 weeks or so, Caleb Glenn at Louisville Male has been one of the most improved players that I've seen and also one of the most talented players that I've seen. In fact, Louisville Male, we had Coach Hayworth on last week. If you missed that, you can check it as a podcast. They have one of the most talented teams as far as just pure talent that I've seen in the area in some time. So Caleb Glenn, an offer yesterday, actually 2 days ago, from IU basketball. And he actually that day didn't just get an offer from Indiana. He had five scholarship offers that day. Arizona State, Louisville, South Carolina, and Wake Forest were other scholarship offers that came in on Tuesday for Caleb Glenn. So he had West Virginia and a few others heading into this period when coaches can now contact, and all of a sudden he's got five more offers to add to his list, including Louisville, where he's been on an unofficial visit, and Indiana, where he's now got a scholarship offer from as well. And he told Alex of Inside the Hall, we'll talk more about Caleb later in the show today, but he told Alex earlier in the week that he was planning the next step in the process. Actually, his father told Alex this, kind of the next step for Caleb Glenn with IU and probably with a lot of the other schools as well, is to set up visits if he hasn't already been there. So it sounds like what I had heard previous to this scholarship offer, there's a good chance that Caleb Glenn is on the Bloomington campus at some point coming up here in the summer months, although things are going to get really busy for him, because even though high school ball will come to a close here in a week or so, the summer hoops, he's got a full schedule in July as far as opportunities with his Brad Beal Nike EYBL team. So, but Caleb Glenn, the latest to get a scholarship offer. Also yesterday, another 2023 player forward named Cohen Carr. He's from Hampton, Georgia. He received a scholarship offer as well. The description I've seen on him is explosive, athletic, and he's 6'7". Again, another name to add to the IU recruiting radar in the 2023 class. His name is Cohen Carr. A couple other quick recruiting notes as well here in this opening segment, brought to you by Zaxby's. Indiana going across the river, going into the Bluegrass State here with Caleb Glenn. Lots of interest there. A scholarship offered to Caleb a few days ago, as we just spoke about. But also Reed Shepherd, who plays down at North Laurel High School. His father, Jeff, played at the University of Kentucky. He's had a number of scholarship offers and a number of teams from mid-major all the way to high-major contact him over the last few days since coaches could get a hold of 2023 players. And Indiana, I think as expected, one of those schools to reach out to Reed Shepherd as well. He's had kind of really burst on the scene in Kentucky this past high school season. His North Laurel team is really good. He had a great season as well. No surprise to see Louisville and others. Going to be interesting to see if Kentucky jumps in with Reed Shepherd at some point, given his father's connection to that program and, of course, the great year of high school hoops and really the good offseason he's had so far as well. But Reed Shepherd, another player from Kentucky that Indiana is looking at in the 2023 class. Also, we know the team is getting back together for offseason workouts, both in and outside of the gym. And so one of the things that's always fun to do in the offseason, you don't get a lot of inside information. There's really no one in there to leak any kind of details as to what is going on. So you kind of have to rely on the IU men's basketball social media accounts to put out work going on. Normally they put out stuff, you know, some clips, some dunks, some good shooting, some highlights from practices and workouts. But occasionally you'll get stuff off the court. A lot of times Cliff Marshall, we talk about that, the director of athletic performance, he has updates on what's going on for IU in the offseason as well. But a video came out yesterday of the team in the sand pit. I think it's located on the side of Cook Hall, if I'm not mistaken, but basically just a big sand area. It looked like they're going through maybe some defensive work, some movements in the sand that obviously make things extra tough. And if the video starts off with lots of clapping and motivation as the players enter the sand pit. And of course, Cliff Marshall is kind of the general leading the way. So if you're into that kind of stuff and you want to see the team doing some foot movements and trying to speed up their ability for next year, check it out. Working with the rope, doing all sorts of things as they sweat in the summer heat. No question, it's a tough workout. But for those of you that want to know what the team is up to, a little glimpse yesterday from the IU basketball program from the social media account yesterday. And that's a look at our headlines for this Thursday edition of the program. I do want to cover the Kentuckiana Summer Basketball League schedule for tonight. This is the final day of games. Last night was the final evening in Louisville. Today is the final day in New Albany. Things are spread out over three locations today. Lots of good matchups. New Albany games start at 3:30 there. Some of the highlight matchups, these are varsity games. Obviously, there's JV freshman matchups as well. Floyd Central will take on Southwestern at 4:30. New Albany will take on Southwestern at 5:30. Floyd Central takes on Scottsburg at 6:30, and Jennings County takes on Scottsburg at 8:30. Games today also at Hazelwood Middle School. Those games start at 4:30 p.m. Lanesville will take on Madison at 4:30. Providence will take on Madison at 5:30. Other games there throughout the night. Of course, all the locations wrap up at 9:30. The last games come to a close around 9:30 each evening. Scribner Middle School also hosting games tonight. Silver Creek is there. The Dragons will take on Louisville Manual. Tell City will take on Borden. And then Silver Creek has a second game later in the evening at 7:30. They will take on a solid Louisville Butler team. So lots of hoops across New Albany tonight. The final look for the local, at least for the Kentuckiana Summer Basketball League, at local teams from Southern Indiana and Louisville for next season as the league comes to a close this evening. When it's all said and done, 300-and-something games from high school, boys varsity, JV, freshman, middle school, high school girls, and JV. And they actually have one more day of the girls' side of that league on Monday at Clarksville. But 300-and-something games, a really good look into things for next season. Not just the big schools, all the way down to the middle size and the small schools as well. I think our area is going to be solid next year. I mentioned earlier this week, I think Jeffersonville is really good. I pegged them as the front runner in the 4A sectional, maybe in the Hoosier Hills Conference as well. The Hoosier Hills Conference is going to be good. I've talked some about that. Looking across the river, I've bragged on Louisville Mail. They are going to be good. Ballard should be really good as well across the river. But other schools, Christian Academy, Borden, have both been very competitive this summer, taking on some really good schedules. And so we're in for another solid year of high school basketball. And with things slowing down now in the summer and that the coaches have had a few weeks to work with their teams, play some games, go to shootouts on college campuses and other places, we will have them on here in the offseason for summer updates coming on very soon over the next few days. So stay with us for that as we move through the offseason and we find a way somehow to keep plenty of basketball involved with this show, whether it's recruiting or off-season stuff like summer leagues and some of the upcoming live period events for travel teams and grassroots basketball. We'll be on top of all of it, covering our local players and, of course, things from an IU recruiting perspective as well. That's our headlines for this Thursday edition of the program. The headlines are brought to you by Zaxby's, with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. Stay with us. Coming up in segment two, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. He's had all sorts of coverage recently from a recruiting standpoint. He had a number of interviews this morning with some parents and high school coaches of those that Indiana is offering and interested in. In fact, some of them have been on campus recently with official visits, and we'll recap all of that and more and take a look at the Big Ten Conference for next season. And still ahead, Scott Hutchins, the head coach of Providence Baseball, he joins the program later in the hour as well. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Thursday program. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, my guest. He's with me in this segment each week as we talk IU basketball. And Alex, it's, to be quite honest, it's hard to keep up with right now all of the recruiting activity going on. IU's had visitors on campus for official and unofficial visits. The coaches earlier this week began reaching out to 2023 prospects. A couple new scholarship offers have went out as well, and all of this is in advance of this weekend when high school coaches, or I should say college coaches, can hit the road and attend certain high school events that have been sanctioned by their state or the NCAA. And of course, July is going to be crazy as well, live periods at some of the big travel tournaments and camps across the country. One of the players you spoke with, his father, and I've discussed him a lot on this program, including a chat with his high school coach, Tim Hayworth, last week, is Caleb Glenn at Louisville Male High School. He's a 2023 prospect. We knew Indiana was interested in him, Louisville as well. He's been to the Louisville campus. He recently went to West Virginia as well. But Alex, yesterday or a couple days ago, he added five scholarship offers and had contact from a whole bunch of programs, including Kansas, and one of those five offers from Mike Woodson and the IU staff.
Yeah, it was a busy Tuesday for Caleb Glenn. It started right after midnight, and his dad told me they took calls and texts for about an hour starting at midnight, went to bed, and then woke up and started it all over again. He told me over 20 schools in total reached out on Tuesday, which probably not that uncommon for a kid that's, you know, top 50, top 60 player in the country right now. First time that coaches could obviously contact him directly. But Indiana's been involved for a while there, kind of getting information on him, building a relationship. And I think the hope from both sides is that he's going to be able to get up there soon for an unofficial visit. His dad told me it could happen as early as next week. They're trying to firm up some dates. I know the family's got a vacation that they're going to take later this month, so they're going to try to get something set up with Indiana. But yeah, it was you know, his dad was very you know, very informative, just in terms of the information that he was able to provide on his son's recruitment. And they're definitely excited to be contacted by Indiana, and as you mentioned, Louisville offered him as well, and that's being close by, I'm sure that offer meant a lot to him as well. But I think that's a recruitment that's just getting started. A lot of schools are going to be involved, and even more could be involved after July, because he's playing with Brad Beal Elite and they're going to Peach Jam. So it should be a very busy couple of months for Caleb Glenn.
Alex, anytime a player from, say, Louisville or the state of Kentucky that has interest from U of L or UK is offered or recruited heavily by Indiana, you always wonder in the back of your mind, no matter how impressive the pitch is from the IU coaches, can you really go into a border state where basketball is king at Kentucky and really good at Louisville, although Louisville hasn't been last year, maybe is what some people thought they should be. Can Indiana really go in and recruit Caleb Glenn hard and have a chance to land him and bring him across to Bloomington?
Yeah, it's a great question and one that I don't think we'll know for sure how it's going to turn out for a while. Like I said, I think it's just getting started. But, you know, I think the Indiana coaching staff smart enough to know if they don't feel like they have a realistic chance, they're not going to long-term, not going to put in the time and effort to recruit the kid. But I think it was it being so early. I mean, I think you have to try and get in there and see what develops. I agree with you. I mean, it'd be like, you know, if there's a kid in Bloomington or Indianapolis that you know, is really good that Indiana wants, more likely than not, you know, they're going to get that kid. So it's not easy for Louisville or Kentucky to go in necessarily and get a kid from Indiana's backyard. It's not going to be easy for Indiana. But, you know, I think at this early stage in the game, I think you have to try and kind of see and get the kid on campus, see what he thinks, if he likes it. I mean, who knows? Anything can happen. But, yeah, it's definitely an uphill battle, I think, just for any school trying to come in when you have Louisville being so close by. And, you know, if Kentucky, I think, really ever decided to make a strong push, they would obviously be pretty formidable as well. But I don't think there's any harm this early in the game of trying and seeing what can happen. I mean, obviously 20 schools reached out, so nobody thinks it's a done deal at this point. And I think as long as you don't get a strong sense that he's about to commit somewhere else, I think you go down the path and see what happens.
Alex Bozich inside the hall. We're talking recruiting and Caleb Glenn. He's a big-time prospect from just across the river in Louisville at Male High School. Alex, you know, you mentioned he heard from 20 schools. He picked up 5 new scholarship offers, all within really a 12, 15-hour period on Tuesday. Coaches could start contacting these prospects at midnight, and many of them take advantage of that midnight hour to send out text right away to make contact, let the players, the prospects, their parents know how important that these guys could be to their respective program. What are your thoughts on that? Is that a little crazy, texting a high school player at midnight to express your interest, or is that just where we're at in the recruiting world right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think – obviously, it's something for us to talk about and write about and tweet about, you know. But in terms of actually having a significant impact on a recruitment, I can't, you know, I've been covering recruiting since, 2007 now in some shape or form. I can't think of a situation where a kid or a parent's ever said to me, you know, this school reaching out at midnight was a big factor in why I'm going to that school. Now, I mean, obviously, it's a thing that you might remember. I mean, if that's the first school that reaches out to you or the first school you talk to, it could leave an impression and kind of let you know that you're important to that school. But to me, it feels kind of gimmicky. I don't know that Indiana does it. I haven't, under the old coaching staff, I don't really remember it being a thing, and I don't know if this staff is doing it. I don't have like a strong opinion on it one way or the other. I think it's fine because it's within the rules, but I don't think like in terms of like a tangible impact on a recruitment that it has much of any. It's just one of those things that you can try, and if you're creative about it, I guess you can use it as a tool to stand out. But you know, just in terms of, you know, like I said, getting a kid to commit to a school, I don't think any kid's going to go to a school because somebody reached out to him at midnight.
Alex Bozich inside the hall. Alex, you had a chance earlier to speak with Kyle Filipowski's high school coach. Kyle was one of the two players that recently completed an official visit earlier this week in Bloomington. You're working on a story. I think it'll be out later this afternoon, so I don't want you to give away the interview or give away the story. But what can you tell us from Kyle's Filipowski's high school coach? What was his thoughts on the visit? And how serious is Indiana as far as their chances to get Filipowski, who I think, from what I've seen, and it's been video only, I haven't seen the kid in person, but he would be a monster pickup in the 2022 class.
Yeah, I've actually spent a pretty good amount of this morning on the phone talking to various people, and two of the people I've talked to, one was, you mentioned Kyle Filipowski's high school coach, Mike Mannix, at Wilbraham and Munson Academy. I talked to him back in the spring when Indiana offered. And yeah, he had nothing but good things to say about the visit. One thing that kind of stood out to me is that, you know, they want him to kind of take a step back after the visit, take a breath, not get too caught up in anything that he saw, and just have a, a perspective on everything, and not get caught, like I said, don't get caught up in the glitz and glam of the visit, and think about what you actually learned. And I think from an Indiana perspective, he really liked Mike Woodson. He's already taken some official visits earlier this month. He was at Syracuse. He's at Ohio State. He's got coming up the rest of the month. He's going to go to official visit or unofficial visit to UConn. He's got a trip coming up soon, unofficial. I think it's to Northwestern. He's also got official visits coming up with Duke. And there's one other one that's escaping my mind. I have to go back through my notes and find it here. But, yeah, Indiana is obviously in a solid position here. I think obviously the Duke visit coming up at the end of this month is going to be important too. The interesting thing there is Duke has not offered a scholarship to this point. I'm not sure how that could or if it will change things if they do offer at the end of the month. But I think Indiana's done a really good job, and I think they really impressed him with the visit. So, yeah, I'll have something up some point today, maybe later in the day. It could even be tomorrow on that. But the other one I'm sure you want to talk about as well was, Justin Taylor, who also took an official visit this week.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you spoke with Justin Taylor's mother this morning for an interview you're working on getting out here very soon. Thoughts on how that visit went? I mean, again, we're talking Filipowski and Taylor, two very key recruits on a national level in the 2022 class, on campus at the same time for official visits. And I even saw that there, on Filipowski, he was sharing some photos of both him and Taylor together in Indiana uniforms. So it makes you wonder connections and how serious things could be both ways. Obviously, Indiana's all in, I would say. But what was the read you got from Taylor's mother on the visit?
Yeah, well, she's very, it was very interesting talking to her because there's some background stuff that I obviously didn't know. I did a little research going into it, but I learned more from her that she played collegiately at James Madison. Her daughter played at William & Mary. Her dad actually played at Duke. So she's been very involved in college basketball for a long time, knows the game in and out. And she was very impressed with the Indiana visit. To me, just from talking to her, it seems like that Taylor is a lot more, Justin Taylor is a lot further down the road in terms of the process than Filipowski is. You know, she mentioned the possibility of a July or earlier decision. Definitely wants to get it done before high school starts for senior year. So that one could be one where there's an answer on his recruitment sooner rather than later. The schools that are involved, obviously the ones that he's taken visits to this month, Virginia Tech, North Carolina, Syracuse, Indiana, and then Virginia, which is he's from Charlottesville, so that's the hometown school. He's working to set up an unofficial visit there. So, you know, those are, to me, the five schools that are really in the mix right now. She did mention that there's a couple of schools that have been in contact that haven't offered, and she wasn't sure exactly how that could change things if those schools do make a scholarship offer. But yeah, you know, the visit went really well. I'm in the process of transcribing our interview, and at the end of it, you know, I realized that she'd said so many interesting things. I said, you know, do you mind if I just run this as a Q&A? Because it's over 2,000 words already. She said a lot of interesting things, a lot of great insight on Mike Woodson. So I'm hoping when we hang up from this interview, Matt, I'm hoping to get that up within the next half hour or so. So I definitely want to check that out.
Alex, interesting you mentioned her comments about Coach Woodson, because that's where I was heading. Some of the reports from these visits that I've read so far, really the number one thing players mention. I know Justin Taylor spoke a lot about facilities and how I think he called them, quote, a player's dream. But other than that, lots of positive words about Coach Woodson and just how he interacts with these young men. And for those that wondered, coming from the pros to the college game, you don't have to recruit in the pros. You don't have to go through that process with players and their families and their coaches at the high school and grassroots level. How would Mike Woodson do? How would he be able to interact? Would he be able to go through the daily grind of recruiting, especially right now? Think about how busy they are just with recruiting, with visits and contacting players and getting ready for this weekend to hit the road and getting ready for July to really hit the road for a period of time, in addition to managing their own team that currently is in Bloomington. But it seems to me, by all accounts, at least if you kind of put things together, Mike Woodson is very well received by parents and by prospects that Indiana's recruiting so far.
Yeah, the words that Justin Taylor's mom used, I asked her, I said, you know, a lot of people have told me down to earth, you know, easy to talk to. She said, yeah, those are definitely what she would use to describe Mike Woodson. She also called him a player's coach. She said that just from being there and being around the team and being around the coaching staff, she could tell that the players really like Mike Woodson and have a good relationship with him. She also mentioned that she feels like he's a coach that wants to have a relationship with players long after their careers are over. So he's being very well received. Obviously, his results so far, recruiting wise, have been strong. And so I think he's off to a really good start. We'll see how kind of things shake out and with this 22 class. I mean, obviously they're in on some very good guys, but you know, you look at some of the schools that are recruiting against for Filipowski and Taylor. I mean, those are schools that are very good, very successful. So that, to me, that tells me they're in on the right guys. Now it's a matter of just being able to close the deal and get a couple of these guys. And the other thing with 2022, just in general, is not a lot of clarity at this point, how many scholarships are going to be available. So I think there may be a little bit more focus on a smaller group of kids right now, just to kind of account for that. But they're in really good shape, I feel like, with a lot of these kids, and it sounds like the visits are going really well. And you don't really ever hear of visits where somebody comes off and said it didn't go well, but it's obviously good. I think fans get excited when they hear some of the things that parents and people close to players say following visits. And I think with these two in particular, things did go really well.
Alex, we pay so much attention to Cliff Marshall, the director of athletic performance, in the offseason. He's kind of our window into what the players are doing, especially off the court, to get their bodies ready for next season. And it's so interesting, I think, to see the freshmen who come in maybe a little weak, and that just happens. And before the season gets here, the change in their bodies normally is just amazing. And we've seen the sand pit stuff before. There was a video of that yesterday of the guys getting some footwork in the sand, which I know is tough, especially in the heat. But there also was some photos Cliff Marshall tweeted out earlier in the week that showed the guys boxing with him at half court at Cook Hall with the gloves. And, of course, he had the targets on his hands. So boxing is a way that I guess has its abilities for health and speed and agility and different things. But interesting to see what all these players go through in the offseason. It's not just basketball. It's not just running. It's not just the weights, the things that we all expect and know happens when you're training your body for a team. There's a lot of other new ideas that Cliff Marshall, and I know others as well, at other programs bring to the table, but he's definitely creative, and he definitely mixes up the workouts for the players.
Yeah, I mean, you can get into a rut of doing the same thing over and over, and players will tune you out, and, you know, they always say, like, in order to get in the best shape possible, you got to do a variety of different things. You can't just do the same thing over and over. And I think Cliff Marshall understands that, and he's got these guys. You can just tell in the pictures the way that they're and you can see this, like, at games, too, like when they're warming up before the game and getting ready in the hallway. And so, like, the players really genuinely love Cliff Marshall. I mean, they spend the most time with him. They do a lot of things with him, and he connects with them. I remember in previous years you'd see, I'm sure we'll see it some this summer, He takes guys fishing, things like that. I mean, the relationship that he's built with these players, and, he did it when he was training NFL guys. I mean, they genuinely like him and trust him, and I think that's important. Anytime you're trusting somebody to help, you know, shape your body and just your overall athletic fitness, it's important that you like and connect with the person. And I think that's one reason that Mike Woodson wanted to keep him around, because, you know, from talking to players, I'm sure he learned that they really care about Mike Woodson. They like him, and they want to be around him. And I think that he's very creative in many of the things that he does. And just from talking to him and knowing him a little bit, he's one of the most genuine, down-to-earth guys that you'll meet. So I think he's a great ambassador for the program and just somebody that's well-liked and well-respected by everybody.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. Lots of content coming. Some big interviews with Justin Taylor's mother, Cal Filipowski's high school coach, and you can find it all at some point today, InsideTheHall.com. And, of course, Alex is with us Thursdays on this program as we talk IU basketball. And with him, we'll continue in this offseason to track recruiting very closely as well. Alex, as always, thank you. We'll do it again next week.
All right. Thank you, Matt. Have a good rest of your day.
Absolutely. We'll head to a commercial break, come back with a final segment in our Thursday show. Scott Hutchins, the head baseball coach at Providence, will join the program as the Pioneers get ready for the 2A state championship game coming up on Monday evening. We'll have the full pitch-by-pitch call here on the Big X with pregame coverage beginning at 7:30. First pitch set for 8 o'clock. What's the week been like? The preparation week for the big game. Scott Hutchins, a longtime fixture at Providence, his first go-around, though, as the head coach, and he's got his team and a state championship date coming up on Monday. We'll discuss all of that and more. Stay with us. Coach Hutchins is next. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach, who got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Providence baseball headed to the 2A state championship game early next week, and head coach Scott Hutchins joins the program right now. Coach, first off, congratulations. What a run it's been the last few weeks. This Providence team is playing great baseball.
Yeah, thank you. You know, we really are playing great baseball these last few weeks. Our bats are hot at the right time, and, Ray Reisinger has been great on the mound, and we've made all the plays we've needed to make, and where it's just nice to be peaking at the right time.
Coach, I want to go back to the Saturday semi-state championship at Mooresville, a very good university team. I think people thought that it would be a real nip-and-tuck ball game that could come down to the final inning and perhaps even the final out. It did not go that way. It went almost perfect for you guys, a 14-1 win in a shortened game because of the run rule. Ray Reisinger was fantastic. Hitting was fantastic. Base running was really good as well for Providence. Just an exceptional ball game. Did you ever see that game playing out in your mind on Saturday as a 14-1 advantage for your team?
No. Like I said, we went up there pretty confident, and we felt like that if we played our best baseball that we were gonna win. But certainly not. We certainly didn't expect 14-1. But we played great baseball, just about as well as we could play. We hit it up and down the lineup, and they struggled to throw some strikes, and they gave us some extra base runners with some walks and a couple hit by pitches, and we took advantage of it at every turn. So we definitely felt like we had a great opportunity, but we certainly didn't think it would be 14-1.
Coach, we got to talk more about Ray Reisinger. It seems like a weekly conversation we have after great pitching from him almost each or every round of the tournament so far. Once again, on Saturday in that big Final Four game, he was fantastic.
Yeah, he was fantastic. I remember saying, at the end of the game to the other coaches, I didn't think he was quite as sharp Saturday as he had been, and thought that, that could have been, he threw 108 pitches in that morning game of regional, it was brutally hot that day. And that took a lot out of him. And even though he had a week to recover, I just didn't feel like he was as sharp. And then, I look at the box score about 15 minutes later and see that he gave up two hits, both in the first inning, and didn't give up another hit after that, and walked only one guy. So, he allowed three base runners in five innings. So, If that's what you get when you're not at your best, That just says who Ray has been really all year long for us. When he's on the mound, we feel like we have an opportunity to beat absolutely anybody because, you know, he just pounds the strike zone and he mixes it up with three pitches and he's tough to hit.
Coach Hutchins of Providence Baseball, my guest. Of course, another big moment in that game, I felt like you already had a commanding lead or control of the game, we'll say, but Eli Watson with a three-run homer that added more runs to the total and just completely took away any opportunity for a change in momentum to go University's way in the middle part of the game. That was just a huge moment.
Yeah, it was. You know, we were up 5-1 at the time, and it was a 2-1 count, and there were two guys on base. And I made the comment to one of the coaches standing next to me. I just said, you know, it's 2-1 here, and I know there's already a couple of guys on. But, you know, the game at that point was kind of hanging in the balance for them. And I made the comment that, you know, you just can't give him something to hit there. You know, and I say that knowing that, look, behind him, Ray Risinger is a great hitter and Casey Kalen's a great hitter. We've got guys who can hit up that lineup. But I just didn't think you could give him something to hit there. And, you know, they did. They gave him a pitch, you know, that was out over the plate. And, you know, he did what he's been doing most of the year. You know, he got off to a little bit of a slow start those first, you know, five or six games. But basically, you know, for the last 20 or so games, he's just been on a tear. And if you give him something to hit, he's more times than not going to hit it hard somewhere.
Coach Hutchins, this is a return trip to Victory Field for you as a coach. Obviously, your first time as a head coach, but you were there in 2016 when Providence won the 2A state championship then. Have you used your experience there as a state championship coach that got the chance with Coach Hornung to go through that process? Have you, I'm sure, used that in practice this week to explain the opportunity that's ahead and the challenge also that exists for this team coming up next week?
Yeah, we've definitely talked about the opportunity. You know, that's something that we've talked about really the last couple of weeks. And, you know, sometimes, you know, one of the things I said to the kids is that sometimes you set a goal and you work and you work and you work and you really just invest in it. And sometimes you still don't get what you want, you know, because winning, you know, winning is hard and you don't always get the payout, even if you put the work in. And the question is, you know, are you willing to put the work in anyway? And our kids were willing to put the work in. And, you know, we have gotten what we wanted. And now our message is just that, you know, it's right there. It's right there for us. This is a great opportunity. And we've talked to them, you know, really all week about, you know, championships are not given. You have to win them. We talked to them about we have to go and we have to take it. We have to be a more aggressive team. And so, you know, I think having been there before and you know, we've got most of our coaching staff has been there before, you know, with Zach Payne having won it at Lanesville and then, you know, a couple of guys on the staff were players on that team. So we have, you know, quite a lot of experience having been in that game. But, you know, at the end of the day, it still comes down to the players and making plays. And, you know, this is a group that really has been pretty unfazed and our practices have been businesslike. They've been, our guys are loose. And so, you know, I really feel like we're in a pretty good mental state as we get closer to Monday night. I think our guys are ready to go.
Coach Scott Hutchins of Providence Baseball joining us here on this Thursday program. Coach, the opportunity to return to Victory Field I know means a lot to Providence, the program, the whole community, but to do so with this group of young men that you have, I know we talk a lot about their success on the field, but as I've gotten to know some of these guys and families over recent years, this is really a first-class group even away from baseball.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, they really like each other, you know, just – to, you know, if anybody were at one of our practices just to experience that, I mean, they give each other a hard time constantly, you know, that it's a group that really likes each other. They enjoy being around each other. But, you know, they do good things on and off the field. You know, they're all good students and really good kids. And, they've been easy to coach, been very easy to coach. That's for sure.
Let's talk about your opponent, Eastside. They're northwest of Fort Wayne, Indiana. They come in with a 23-5 record to the 2A title game. they too were big winners in their semi-state. It was at Kokomo, and they were 9-1 victors over Delphi Community in that one game semi-state there. What have you learned so far? I know you and your staff have been hard at it, trying to track down information on this opponent, Eastside, coming up for Monday night's championship game. What have you learned about them?
Well, I mean, it starts with the kid on the mound, and his name's Owen Willard. He's a junior, and you know he throws mid-80s, but his thing, you know, like Ray, is he also throws a lot of strikes. And so they're not going to give you anything. You're going to have to earn it. He really pounds that strike zone. You know, he struck out 125 guys on the season, so he certainly presents a big challenge to us. But you know, we have faced guys like him throughout the season. And, you know, we've had a couple of challenges. You know, we our morning game of the regional, we faced a guy that was throwing in the low to mid-90s. So we have met that challenge, and so we expect that we can do it again. But it really does start with him. He's excellent on the mound. And then, you know, their lineup, he's their leadoff hitter. He's hitting about 480. So he's definitely the key cog in their wheel. So we'll have to focus on keeping him off base, and then pitching to the people behind him without any base runners. So, those are probably the main things, that we see. It's just, we're going to have to attack his fastball early because he mixes it up pretty well. If he gets ahead in the count, he's going to mix in a curveball and a little bit of a slider as well.
Providence baseball coach Scott Hutchins, my guest. Coach, you're a Providence lifer in every sense of the word. And again, you've been involved with this baseball program. This has come up here over the last few weeks when we've had you on before. You've been involved for years and years with this program. And you were there in 2016 as a key assistant coach to Scott Hornung in that championship season. But to do this as the head coach and to do it really in your first year as the head coach, because of the pandemic taking away last season, what does this mean for you to be a Providence guy, to have worked at the school for so long, to have been an assistant coach with so many great coaches and players that you've been with over the years, and now to lead really your first group that's all yours to the state championship game?
I mean, it really is an incredible feeling, because, you know, this program means everything to me. That's not an exaggeration. From the time that, I was a kid, I just wanted to be a part of this baseball program. I still have that. I still have that same feeling as a coach, just wanting to be a part of this program. And, you know, so many people have worked so hard and had so much success before me, that just being a part of that and continuing that is something that has been so very important to me. So I am certainly blessed that we've had this kind of success in our first season. You said that, you know, this was all mine. And I do have to say that I feel like I have the best group of assistant coaches you could ever imagine. I'm really blessed to have those guys.
Scott Hutchins, he's the head coach at Providence. Coach, best of luck. We'll talk with you there in Indianapolis and look forward to being there for your state championship game.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Scott Hutchins, what a season it's been for Coach Hutch and the Pioneers. We wish him the very best coming up Monday night against Eastside in the 2A state championship game. That's going to wrap things up for this Thursday edition of the program. Back with you Friday at 11 a.m. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.